I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The City of Toronto and BID partners welcomed a FIFA delegation for a FIFA World Cup 2026 host city site visit this week. Toronto Mayor John Tory, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Chairman Larry Tannenbaum, and Ontario Minister of Heritage, Sport, Tourism, and Culture, Lisa McLeod, welcomed the visiting delegation. Toronto is a candidate to host the World Cup at a time when Canadian soccer is on the rise, with the continued popularity of Major League Soccer and the Toronto FC, as well as the emergence of Canada's national team program and its current success at the 2022 World Cup qualifiers. Today, Josh Deming of the YouTube soccer channel JJD TV discusses the possibility of Toronto hosting the 2006 World Cup, the growth of soccer in Toronto and Canada, and why Canadians should take notice of the national team and its star, Alfonso Davies.
Yeah, so my name is Josh Deming. I'm a Canadian soccer football fan, depending on where you are in the world. And I grew up in a very small town in Canada, so I didn't really have an outlet for talking about the sport I love. Everyone in my small hometown loved hockey, so I just kind of kept my thoughts and opinions to myself until COVID opened a bit of an opportunity for me, where a buddy, my best friend and I, who he's a producer, decided to go about making JJD TV. We focused it around Borussia Dortmund, which is my favorite club team to begin with. Picked up a lot of success pretty early. We have a nice partnership with Borussia Dortmund themselves, where they're international Twitch hosts, as well as video contributors for their international fan app. And then I did that for about 6 months until the Canadian national team started playing again. And I would just, I mean, I love my national team. I've been following the Canadian national team for as long as I can remember. They just were not very good for most of my life. So I just kind of came out of left field when they were going for World Cup qualifiers and took a look at the squad and got really excited. So I decided to add it to the channel. And we've found a lot of success in that as well. And it's been a lot of fun diving into this market and seeing that the Canadian national team and Canada fans are pretty big all across this country, which is fantastic to see.
You know, there's been a lot of noise and attention for Canadian soccer lately. And this week, FIFA officials came to Toronto to, I guess, survey the city about their bid for the 2026 World Cup. What do you think it would mean for Toronto and for Canada to host the World Cup?
It would be huge. There's never a better opportunity to do it now, especially just given that it's approaching 2022 and you're seeing the spike and you're seeing the noise that's already making, and knowing it's different. I mean, qualifying for one, which is hopefully what we're on track to doing, but being able to host one yourselves is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I think any city would be lucky enough to get a bid accepted, and I'd be excited to see what Toronto can do. They've obviously found a lot of success through using BMO as well as Toronto FC and winning the MLS Cup a few years ago. And I think this would be just a nice step for them. I mean, I've been to BMO plenty of times. It's the closest, besides, I guess, Forge now, but that's technically a CFL stadium, but BMO is the closest one to where I live. So I've been there plenty of times, and I think it'd be a great host, and I really hope it happens, because that way I'd be able to go to a few games.
Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what do you think is Toronto's chances of hosting the World Cup?
I expect pretty good. From what I've read, they're going to make a decision early 2022. I would be surprised if they rejected Toronto, to be honest. So mm-hmm. I'd say if I had to put a percentage, probably like 90%.
Mm. When you mentioned like BMO and TFC, how they've been instrumental to, I guess, increasing fandom for soccer, especially for a city that is known for like the Leafs, the Raptors, and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's trying to find that culture. But I think a real turning point for TFC is when they decided to start building a successful side. TFC has been in the MLS obviously for a while, and that's a perfect leapfrog to give fans an opportunity to go and watch the games, which is what I used to like to do. But when I went to a ton of games at BMO growing up, they weren't very good either. I mean, Toronto FC took a while for them to adapt to the league, to start building a winning squad. And I think just like anything, same as the national team, it's when you start putting the pieces together and start competing on a competitive level, you get more entertainment and you get more attention. And once TFC did that and went to that cup final where they lost to Seattle, I think there was a lot of hype around it. I remember getting really, really into that team, really into what they're building there. And then the next season they went on and won it, which is fantastic. I think that was a real opportunity, a real turning point to show like this city is open to having an extra sports team in there, and one that brings in a lot of attention and a lot of hype. And TFC did a really good opportunity putting, as they like to say, Canada on the map for the soccer world.
Mm-hmm. So I guess for TFC next season, what do you expect from them?
I'd expect a better season than the one they put up this year, that's for sure. I didn't expect them to have as poor as a season as they did. I still felt like there was a good core group in that side. It just, a couple decisions from the higher-ups did not pan out the way they were expecting, and it pretty much fell right off the cliff as soon as the season started. They had to readjust. They finished the season pretty much winless. It was one to forget for everyone. It's going to be a huge rebuild. A lot of big names are going to leave. Hopefully a bunch of big names are going to come in. And it all started with the appointment of Bob Bradley, which I've gone on my podcast a few times and said that he'd be the perfect man for the job. And it feels a breath of fresh air, and I'm excited to see what they can do. And I expect a much different looking TFC team, but a much more competitive TFC team for the start of next season.
Josh outlines Canada's current success on the national scene in various tournaments and matches. Along with the rise of star player Alphonso Davies and other factors, Josh believes Canada has a legitimate chance at qualifying for the 2002 World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And I told the story a ton of times growing up because I like following my national team. And I'm Canadian. I want to see how they did. And I just remember following them through Gold Cups, through World Cup qualifying, and not having a lot of success, and being excited if they'd get a win or they'd get a draw here and there, especially in the Gold Cup, because a lot of times they'd go in and you get knocked out in the group stage, and it was just, didn't know if it was ever going to come. And when I started covering it on the channel, taking a look at some of the quality players they had from around the world, and a huge shout out needs to go to Alphonso Davies, because again, when it comes in terms of success to put Canada on the map, he was a huge part of that. What he did from get that move from the Whitecaps over to Bayern to then go on and win pretty much everything there is to win in world football is unbelievable. So that got a lot of attention on that, and he's basically changed his game up, and it's been an attacking outlet for the Canadian men's national team. It started way back against, I believe, Bermuda, Cayman Islands, and a few different teams like that before having to go on to Suriname, which was a big test for Canada to kind of see what they were made of. They were able to win that, went undefeated in the first round qualifiers. They then went on to take on Haiti over two legs. They had the better of them, and now it's just wild to think halfway through, or even a little bit more than halfway through, with six games remaining in World Cup qualifiers, Canada is sitting top of the World Cup qualifying table in CONCACAF. It's unbelievable. Another huge amount of credit needs to go to John Herdman, who came over from coaching the Canadian women's team to come over to the men's team, and he's done just such a spectacular job having these players believe that they can go toe-to-toe with anyone, and that's exactly what you've seen. And you've already seen each and every window, it seems like there's another historical event that has happened from the Canadian national team, and beating Mexico is the latest.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Alphonso Davies, he's become like a bit of the poster boy for the national team, but what other factors have led to the men's program becoming a lot more successful?
I think there's a lot of different factors to see what makes a national team successful, because it's a very unique situation. Alphonso Davies is incredible, and I can't speak highly enough of what he was able to do. But then other areas of the MLS, who I think deserves a lot of credit, because the MLS is becoming a very competitive league. And on top of that, like Toronto FC, Montreal, and Vancouver are all in there. So a lot of those academies are blossoming at the project that is the MLS. Then obviously going in there and opening up the CPL, which I think will have a bigger impact on developing young Canadians out there. And then another unique aspect is dual nationals. And we saw that recently with Ike Ugbo, who happened to live, I believe, in Toronto, or the Vaughan area, actually, for just long enough to be eligible. And John Herdman is going out there and finding dual nationals who in the past would never have committed to the Canadian national team. And we have Stephen Eustachio, who's a vital piece, I could argue one of the most important players. And if he's not playing, you don't know if you're going to get the same Canadian national team. And he was a dual national from, could have been eligible for Portugal as well. And John Herdman has been basically going out there and being like, I want these guys. I'm building something special here. I can convince them. And when you're sitting on the outside looking in, like Ike Ugbo was, and you're seeing players like Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tejan Buchanan, a lot of young, talented Canadians coming up the ranks, why not? And especially because we're doing so well and there's the chance of qualifying to Qatar 2022 is very realistic, on top of the chance of hosting a World Cup in 2026 can almost guarantee players now two World Cups, where before Canada couldn't really guarantee you anything and usually didn't. So it's a huge turning point in Canadian national team And as a fan and as someone who likes to cover it, it's incredible to see. And I'm just feel like we're just on the surface of what John Herdman and this group can accomplish.
Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what's next for the team in the winter qualifying window? Like, what do you think they need to do to continue the success?
I think the mentality is something I always speak so highly about. I personally do believe we have the best manager in the region. I think John Herdman has convinced these group of players, like I said, they can go up against anyone. And they've proven that going to the Azteca and taking a point, taking on Mexico at home and taking all 3 points, doing cannonballs in the snow, celebrating. They're just such a unity between this team and they buy into anything they're asked to do. John Herdman is known to play a variety of different systems. And just off the top of my head, I've seen this group play in a 3-5-2, a 3-4-3, a 4-2-3-1, a 4-4-2. Whatever he seems to ask this group to do, every player buys in and every player just takes their game to the next level when they throw on that Canadian men's national team jersey. So I think they just need to find a little bit more of the same. There's going to be, in my opinion, this is probably one of the toughest windows because you're going to Central America for 2 matches, which is not an easy task to do. Now you can make the argument Honduras is at the basement. What kind of Honduras are you going to find? But it's still not an easy task, as well as having the U.S. at home, who are going to probably look for a little bit of revenge, considering that we took a point from them in the U.S. So it's going to be a real reality check because we are only 2 points off of fourth place, which is a very dangerous place to be. Because even if you finish in fourth, you could have to go into the Interconfederational playoffs, and you don't know who you're going to get matched up with. So it does not guarantee you anything. So top three has to be a goal for John Herdman, and just doing a little bit of the same and hopefully being able to keep adapting and playing these type of games the way that they have been, and they'll be able to get the points they need to qualify.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, fingers crossed, if Canada were to qualify for Qatar, what would be their ranking to other countries?
You mean how would other countries perceive Canada?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting because it's a country that hasn't been to the World Cup in a long, long time, but it's also, they have players that you can't ignore. I mean, you're not going to be excited looking at what this team has done and going up and making noise, taking on Mexico, taking on the U.S., having players like Alphonso Davies, who's won everything at the young age he is, early 20s, he's won everything there is into the game. So I think they would be cautious is what I'd say. I think a lot of them would still think that they could do something against Canada, but I think they would be a little bit cautious and hopefully a little bit arrogant and ignorant, and hopefully we could be able to come back and show them that we belong here, and they're definitely not a country to take lightly.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, in terms of Canada's talent right now, how do they stack up to, I guess, like, the upper echelons of the countries out there?
I think they can compete with just about anyone. I mean, like, the France, Germany, Brazils of the world. I mean, I'm not going to be unrealistic and be like, you know what, Canada can go in there and do anything. I don't know what those matches would look like because we haven't had to see one of them. But, I mean, just thinking of countries like Poland and Colombia, maybe even, like, I mean, Uruguay, I mean, they're starting to slip too. But I mean, these type of teams that have gone to World Cup quarterfinals before, like Chile, like Canada can compete with these types of teams. And I would be very curious to see how John Herdman would approach a game against a Germany or a France or in England and see what kind of matchup we'd get up. But I can promise you that group of players will go into any single match, doesn't matter who it is, and believe that they can go in there and take the points. So it'd be interesting, but I mean, in the top teams in the world, in the top countries, Canada can compete. And I would love to see them take on a team like Poland. I think that Poland's a solid team that can push you, and I can see us doing some damage against that. So I think the real test is if we're able to qualify is to see what the World Cup will bring and what kind of outlook we do, because I think that we have just as much of a chance of getting out of any group as anybody else.
Canada has qualified for the World Cup once in 1986, finishing 24th in the group stage. The 2002 winter qualifiers for Canada will include a match against the U.S. at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, Ontario, on January 30th. The 2026 World Cup host cities are expected to be announced by FIFA early next year. The exact dates of the tournament have not yet been set. More details to come. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative,